I'm Clinton Bowne, and for 30 years, I've been working across professional sport, business, and broadcast television. And I've been exploring reputation and the role that it plays in personal and professional lives. Reputation, it doesn't cost you anything until it costs you everything. Welcome to Reputation Matters, the podcast for leaders who want to unleash the power of reputation and brand. Today's guest revolutionized an entire industry. He's a visionary, a leader of change, a storyteller. He's an inventor and a reinventor, a man of great kindness, shows social responsibility, and steely determination to lead. As the former CEO of Swiss Wellness, Radek Sali led a business that surged from a company worth about 15 million with 30 employees to an astounding 2.1 billion enterprise with over 1,000 employees in less than a decade. Swiss became Australia's largest global wellness company and the number one natural health brand in Australia and China. But it was a wild ride, one that Radek reflects on in his new book, How to Build a Billion-Dollar Business, which he co-authored with renowned author Bernadette Schwert. Today, Rad is chair of his Light Warrior Investment Group, which is committed to creating shared value by investing in business that puts culture first, that are socially responsible and environmentally conscious. He is the reinventor and executive chair of Wanderlust, a founder and director of Conscious Investment Management, Stratosphere and Anthem. His track record speaks for itself, starting or reinventing 8 organizations, returning over 1,000x initial investment in 3 of those exits. Today, Radek spends 50% of his time working on the not-for-profit space, the chair and director of numerous incredible causes and centers for change. His understanding of defining markets, building brands, and growing reputation is second to none. I'd like to welcome to Reputation Matters, Radek Sali. Welcome, Rad.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Brilliant. Now, you're a brand builder. What do you think are the key things you need to consider when you're when you've been building brands over your career?
I think that building brands needs to be driven by a purpose, and so many brands are out there trying to tell you why they should, why the consumer or customer, why they should use their brand or work with them. I think you got to kind of take a step back and you know, even the culture that we set up in kind of brands, we don't think about the profit outcome first. We think about the people first, the reason to be and why we're doing what we're doing. And then that adds up and equates to the profit outcome. So we like to think of it about, I suppose, a bit differently to others would start about it.
Yeah, right. Now, I'm obsessed with that relationship between brand and reputation. I see brand as you want the world to see you, and reputation's actually how the world does see you, whether you're a product or a person or whatever it might be. Well, what's your view on that relationship between the two?
Yeah, well, you can't kind of pay for reputation first, whereas brands can get away with doing that in some contexts. And I believe they're kind of more successful if they start with that kind of reputation in mind and what they want to be famous for and what they can authentically be different to when compared to other brands, say in a category or other brands that you compete with.
The Swiss story, taking it over as a smaller organization and then blowing it up. Where did it come from? Where did this vision come from, and how did you get those early wins?
Yeah, so Swiss was a very small business when I started, but I always say that kind of first 10 million of revenue is the hardest. So thankfully, my two shareholders, my business partners, the major shareholders, that I when I came on board, you know, I'd done those kind of baseline foundational works, and we were very aligned on culture, and culture for me was a really important part of transitioning from a business corporate to a small business. And so it was about creating kind of an ability for the business to go beyond its founders and for decision makers to kind of sit within the areas of the business and enabling the business to be able to grow and thrive from there. But it was hard work. You know, when I first told people I worked at Swiss, people would say, what, the embassy? You know, I'd worked at Village Roadshow before that, which was in cinemas, and it was great fun. Everyone wanted to talk about, you know, the latest movie or what Brad Pitt was starring in. So they wanted to talk about that, and then suddenly I'm working at Swiss, and I'd say, yeah, what, the embassy? I'd sort of say no vitamins, and then they'd go, you know, they'd finish the conversation because they're worried that I'd talk about irritable bowel syndrome or kind of IBS. Oh, so that's IBS or UTIs, urinary tract infections. So they quickly change the subject because all the supplements were marketing and kind of that way calling out the kind of benefits of their products, which, you know, health is very aspirational. And so we just saw a big gap to create aspiration. And occasionally one group, you know, someone would say they're taking Centrum, and I would say, why do you take that? And that's because Rob DeCastella took it. And so we just saw a big opportunity to kind of take that step and go a bit further with big personalities that everyone knew and loved, which transcended our brand.
I love it. And it was just so amazing to watch the journey. Also the benefit it brought to sport in general. I mean, as another big advertiser in the clarity it brought to AFL and to the Olympics. I remember a major sponsor of the Olympics along the way, and the brand alignment was just so there to be seen. Also the growth of category. I mean, when you went in there, I remember Blackmores felt like the only ones in town and Centrum. So what was the thinking around that specific, you know, category and the potential in it?
Yeah, so the hardest thing was actually, you know, we were growing really rapidly, but convincing pharmacists that, you know, we could grow as fast as, say, Blackmores or Centrum first. Centrum was kind of the multivitamin seller, and then it was Blackmores and Nature Zone that had significantly more space than Centrum, and at that time were just a multivitamin. We had a product that had over 70% retention, so we knew our product worked extraordinarily well when we got it into people's hands. So, and funnily enough, our first two ambassadors were Ricky Ponting and Sonia Kruger, and they were both taking our product already. So it was a deal for them that was very easy to do, and they loved the benefits it brought them. And so when that, you know, authentic connection happens and your brand's built on this position of being a premium and being proven and aspirational, that was our branding position and pillars that then became our reputation for that. As we engaged with sport in deeper context or lifestyle programs, you know, with sport, the Olympics were the first broadcast partner of the Olympics that a supplement brand, natural health supplement brand, took up that position. The AFL, the first, you know, vitamin, official vitamin of the AFL. And then even the lifestyle category, we're the ones responsible for all those annoying block adverts where you got every competitor in the show endorsing a brand or something. We're the first ones to do that with Sonia Kruger in Dancing with the Stars. So we had to get the BBC to approve actually having the host of the show in the program with adverts. So it was the first sort of sense of influencers and targeting audiences. And, you know, we were targeting them on a mass scale because those programs were the number one programs on TV then. And so when you're breaking the rules around how you advertise and kind of disrupting the way you get to your customer, you know you're doing, and it's a bit harder to get there because it did take us a long time to get that kind of sign off from BBC and Channel 7 as well. But when you're breaking those rules, you know you're doing something different, and you're gonna get somewhere as a result of that. So always push when you're getting pushed back on. Go a bit harder.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, Rad, new challenges. I love the expression reinventer because it so suits who you are. Reinventing an executive chair of Wanderlust. Tell us about that journey for you. What did you see in the brand, and what's your vision for it?
Yeah, so Wanderlust is unique. It was something that I wanted to get involved with when I was at Swiss. We had the colour run, and we were throwing colour at 250,000 Australians every year, and we thought, this is going to kind of wear out over time, and you know, it was fantastic, and so I was looking for the next thing, and so Yoga to Music had sort of just started out, and I met with the guys, and they'd sold the business or the license rights for our area, and so it was, we took up a sponsorship, and that was all okay, and then I kind of moved on from Swiss And then I just had, you know, a few years out of being in the category, but always been thinking about how we'd go back. And to me, Wonderlust was a brand that could transcend just being an event platform. It could be a product range and a product range that was had a major point of difference in being plant-based and that complemented a yoga, you know, yoga lifestyle authentically, which is Ayurvedic medicine. So yoga or movement, meditation and nutrition are kind of the key pillars of what we see in developing holistic health. And so they had this great events business, which in this new age of kind of content being king and you know, it's not as simple as advertising in the biggest program on TV to get a mass audience. You need to create deeper experiences. So events do that. And then we've got this product range that people can buy year-round outside of that. And then we have this business called Commune, which is a subscription business that's, you know, all things wellness, that the talent from Wonderlust Events, you can go deeper with those individuals with that platform. So it's a fully integrated program that Wonderlust is kind of the beachhead of. And, you know, we've got wonderful personalities like Drew Barrymore coming at the start of August and, you know, sharing her life of inspiration and, you know, hardship and then how she's come through that. And so the, you know, this basis of meditation, nutrition, inspiration and mindset through movement is kind of where we landed at Wonderlust and we feel is a really nice, fresh point of difference in the category.
Just wanted to reflect the journey for your new book, How to Build a Billion-Dollar Business. What did you learn about yourself through that journey?
I learned that I'm not a natural writer. And, you know, I sort of started the project 8 years ago and I got fired by my first publisher because it was 160,000 words of drivel. And thankfully, Bernadette reached out on LinkedIn and said, I think you'd make an interesting story. I'd like to work together with you. And I said, funny that, I've got 160,000 words that needs reshaping and needs some professional work done to it from a writer's point of view. And so she rejected us and got us a wonderful new publisher. And here we are now with the book released.
Yeah, now you said before Bernadette came to you after you got fired by your first publisher, which is a great story. And you also in your bio that talks about how you should have got potentially fired several times from Swiss along the journey. And there's obviously the well-publicized challenges with the May Group and George Calambaris and that business. Just tell me about your learnings through the journey of life and business and you know, successes and failures and what they mean to you and what you take with you.
Yeah, I kind of each of those lessons, whilst they're stressful at the time, when you look back on them, they're kind of the most rewarding periods of your life. You grow the most as a result of failure and a result of accepting it and going, well, how can I do things better as a result of it? And our instant kind of reaction is to kind of avoid failure, not talk about it, and carry on as if it hasn't happened. And that's kind of human nature. And so I've always tried to set up cultures where it's okay to fail and talk about that fail and improve from it. From the book, the learning from that was to get someone that was a professional writer that could complement my skills and get the outcome. And the same at Swiss, whenever I should have been fired, it was kind of a, have I got everyone in the right places? Am I focused on the right things? Is our strategy right? What are we doing to reset? How are we going to get better as a result of this? And the other trick is too, is just bringing on all your kind of influences or decision makers in the business on the journey of the potential failure and what could happen. So when it does happen, it's not such a shock. And then on the George Calambaris thing, I mean, sometimes it's just an iceberg that's just too big that others, you could never have predicted the kind of outcome as a result of running into the issues we ran into. And all you can do is control the controllables and do what you know history will look back on kindly. And what I can say about that is that, you know, nearly every big business in the country has had wages issues, and you know, Woolworths, Coles, BHP, you name them, they're all there at the list, Qantas, and government organisations, the ABC, social services have all struggled again, have had to make repayments to people, universities. So, you know, we're a little restaurant that you've got to pay people 60-odd different ways for a little operator to work that out. So that again, you know, at the time was really hard to explain because of the tsunami of what went against us. But in the context of history, I think people look back on it and go, well, we did the best we could in very difficult circumstance.
Well, it's so interesting to catch up with George and understand actually how he's going so well and how big a deal he still is in, say, for example, Europe. And understanding that, you know, sometimes your reputation in some spaces may be challenged, but really driving forward in others. Through that whole period, where do you think your reputation has sat, and how do you think your reputation helped you drive through that period of time?
Well, I think that we tried to do what we always do in businesses and bring authenticity to way we care about our people, our focus on culture, which is what we're in the motion of doing. And, you know, the first thing we did was to review, when we bought into that business, review people's pay rates and were they being paid correctly. And we found anomalies. So, again, and we paid people back immediately, even if it, in the end it meant the business couldn't operate any longer because of the amount of debt it just had and it couldn't, you know, we had COVID as well, startups, and there was uncertainty with that. So it meant... And then there were bushfires too, and 5-10% of our audience was coming internationally to go to a George Kalambaras restaurants, and there was this massive bushfires that were the biggest Australia had ever had. And so people just didn't come to Australia for that summer. And so we were just affected by all means of things. So it just became insurmountable. But, gee, we gave it all, our all. And George is, you know, by doing the right thing, he, you know, he's got a hat back with his restaurant in Melbourne that is, you know, booked out for months in advance, and he's working with a Sorrento pub and completely repositioned that, and has an entrepreneurial venture in the digital space called Culinary Wonderland, which is, you know, another great success and testament to his resilience.
I love how through your career you've used celebrity, but really they're just role models. And they're role models that really actually speak a real truth, a truth to the brand and the brand alignment that you seek. So it's just been amazing to see that journey, and for Drew Barrymore's alignment with Wonderlust is super cool. Just in closing, Rad, and appreciate your time, just your own personal brand or your reputation. I've known you for quite a few years, and the words I would use to describe you are generous, highly creative and super engaged. How do you see yourself, and what do you think your reputation is?
Thank you. Very kind words. I feel like that I do my best to kind of live out my best self. And so even the what we call our investment group, Light Warrior, it's about aspiration. And we want to be warriors out there providing light to the world, is what my wife said to me when she first fell in love with me. So she already branded me with that. So I needed to live up to that reputation. So we try and do that with the work we do. And then our foundation's called Light Folk. And we're, you know, they're out there trying to make, you know, the world lighter. And then the good folk doing that. So we're the warriors providing for those folk. So I see language is really, really important for kind of setting the tone of who you want to be. And, you know, life's about constant growth. And, you know, as long as three times out of the kind of four decisions, they're progressive and kind of moving you in the right direction. And, yeah, you're going to be human and have one of those fourth not really work for you as well as you will go to plan. Then you're kind of looking at that and how can I do better? And I think that that's the point of life. I've tried stopping and doing not much. It didn't work for me. I became pretty depressed quickly and kind of things caught up with me that I didn't like about myself. So, you know, doing stuff is really important, having purpose.
Thanks for joining me, Clinton Bowne, on Reputation Matters, the podcast for leaders who want to unleash the power of reputation and brand. If you enjoyed the podcast, remember to like and subscribe, leave a comment and share with others in your network. Reputation Matters is about exploring and understanding why reputation matters so much and helping leaders better understand how they can drive their own narrative.
So, if reputation matters to you, let's connect. Sign up to my newsletter at clintonbound.com and connect via LinkedIn /ClintonBound. I look forward to catching you next time on Reputation Matters.